Are you ready? Are you ready to take massive action towards building a life and lifestyle that rewards you with a fit body, endless supplies of mental and physical energy, and total freedom from guilt around food and exercise? This is Cut the Fat Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Cut the Fat Podcast. I'm Dr. Ray Heinisch.
I'm Blythe Ahlberg, and we are so excited to be bringing another podcast to you guys today.
Yes. Now, Blythe, let me tell you, Cut the Fat is kind of what we would call a double entendre without the risque nature, right? It has multiple meanings, right? We could say cut the fat means, well, we're going to cut the fat from our body. We're going to get rid of the fat from our body. But it also can mean that we're going to cut the fat from our life as well. And that's kind of what today's topic is all about. It is the impact of our social circle, our social culture on our weight loss efforts, on our fitness, on our health, and everything else in our life, right?
Right. How and why these things can be beneficial to fat loss.
Yes. And so we're going to cut into that pretty deep today. And I think everybody needs to hear this because I can tell you, you know, it's been said that if you were to take your five closest friends and add up or average out or add up all of their incomes and then average that number, then there's a very high likelihood that you're going to fall very close to that. And the same kind of holds true with health and wellness, right? Is that if we were to take a look at your five closest friends, and I would put your five closest family members as well, like your husband or your spouse, et cetera, that if we were to kind of look at all of their health and lifestyle choices, they would fall very close to yours, right?
Well, sure, sure, absolutely. We surround ourselves with things that are comfortable. And if you've got a lifestyle that's a certain way, let's go back to like the life of dating. You know, remember way back in the day when you're looking to meet somebody, well, you kind of look for somebody who has the same interests. And I think as you continue life, you develop that more and more and it becomes stronger and you gravitate toward people who have the same lifestyles and behaviors as yourself.
Right. And there are a lot of traps that we can fall into during the course of kind of building our social circle. And we're going to talk about some of those things as well. But before we kind of get into that stuff, why don't we talk about social media a little bit? Okay. And not in the context of our social media accounts or anything like that, but just social media in general. I came across a really kind of interesting article out of Reader's Digest. Now, I'm not generally somebody who likes Reader's Digest articles. I think they're very superficial when it comes to health advice, you know, but in this case, I kind of liked the topic. And the topic was titled Seven Things You Do on Social Media That Can Help You Lose Weight. And so I want to go through these seven things and get your take as well. Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. Let's go through the first one. First one they said is to unfollow indulgent food. And I guess this is really focusing on like Pinterest and Instagram. And let me read the little blurb about this particular recommendation. It says, scrolling through drool-worthy photos of hashtag food porn on Instagram may seem harmless, but it encourages you to indulge more. A review of studies in the journal Brain and Cognition found that regular exposure to virtual food may exacerbate physical hunger. Even worse, seeing photos associated with a particular taste decreases your enjoyment when you actually experience the taste. Pretty cool.
I think I've experienced that firsthand. I mean, I can say one day, let me just give you this quick story. One day I saw this great blueberry. It was kind of like a pound cake recipe. And I thought, how can I make that healthy? So, you know, I go put it together, use almond flour and some coconut flour. And I make this thing. And it was so horrible. But ever since then, it turned out horrible. Ever since then, all of these wonderful food recipes, because I liked that particular one and saved the video, show up on my newsfeed. And I will tell you that trying a pork shoulder braised in like brown sugar or whatever that shows up on my newsfeed, I would never in a million years think of preparing that for myself or my family. But because it shows up on my newsfeed when I'm scrolling through Facebook or something, I'm like, oh,
you can't help but watch it. You can't help but watch it.
Exactly.
And what the data suggests, and we've seen this in the research on TV watching as well, you know, TV watching, how much TV we watch has been very closely correlated to how much weight we gain as well. And the researchers thought, well, you know, maybe it's the sedentary nature. You know, you're sitting there, you're not exercising if you're watching TV. True. And that is an accurate representation of what goes on. Well, maybe it's because when you're watching TV, you're chomping on potato chips. But researchers are now seeing that, in fact, it may be the exposure to the food commercials that ultimately causes you to gain at least a portion of that weight is from the fact that your brain is being exposed to these foods, and they're usually very tasty things that cause you to seek out those foods or other foods that are in the same kind of taste range. So,
What about watching food shows?
One would think, I guess it depends on the food show, right? If you're watching the food shows that are all about like Cake Boss and like Cupcake Wars and things like that, I guess it could be. But you know what? This brings me to the second one on this list, and it is the opposite of the first one, and that is they say pin healthy inspiration. Once you've unfollowed social media accounts that make you crave unhealthy food, focus on the ones that inspire you. Create digital vision boards on Pinterest of each of your healthy interests. For example, designate one board for jogging inspiration, one for slow cooker recipes, and one for smoothies. And do it regularly and explore your board when you need motivation.
What a great idea. You know, I don't use Pinterest or bulletin boards like that to the best degree I could be using them. That's a great point.
Yes. And so it's the opposite. You know, you get what you think about in your life. And if you're constantly seeing these videos of making, you know, junky food, you're going to want junky food. If you watch videos of healthy and inspirational things, you're going to want health and inspiration. So, yes, very good. Very good connection there.
Good. It's just reinforcing your motivation. I love it.
This next one is very, very close to our heart, right? And this one is build your support group. And it says, you know, a support system is crucial for successful weight loss, but sometimes your family just isn't on board. Ditch Friday pizza night? Never. If that sounds familiar, find a support group online. A Northwestern University study found that online dieters who checked into Calorie King, a weight loss website, to log their meals and friend other dieting members lost 8% more body weight after 6 months than their less connected peers. Okay, so basically everybody in the study was using the Calorie King app, which, as you know, is just a food logging app. But
I love it.
It has kind of a social connection as well. You can friend other people on the app, and the people who did that lost more weight than the people who used the app but didn't connect through that online community.
There's another online app that a lot of people use. MyFitnessPal is one that I really like just because it's user friendly. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. It's got a community. If your friends are on there and you've got their phone number saved in your phone, I think it automatically suggests those friends for you. So it's a great way to find people in your life who are already supportive. So if you're not getting it right from home, and I understand that, you know, my husband likes to make foods with all these rich sauces and stuff. He doesn't have to watch his weight as much as I do. You know, I'm a little more self-conscious about that. So he definitely likes to cook sometimes. And I hate to be the one to say, no, I can't have that. But then, you know, that's my one night Friday night. So finding a supportive community outside of that is also a great tip.
Right. And the reason I say it's near and dear to our heart is because you and I are working on this brand new community called Cut the Fat Coaching Club. And it's a premium community, and we're going to be launching it over the next, you know, I don't know when you're listening to this podcast, but it's going to be available. So check it out on cutthefatpodcast.com. If it's pre-launch, you'll be able to get on the waiting list. If we've already launched it and it's available because we're going to be closing it down because we want to be able to really get in there and help our community members get the job done, then just get on the waiting list. And when we launch it, you'll be the first to hear. Okay. So this is just, you know, we have been talking a lot about the connection between community and how important it is. And so the Cut the Fat Coaching Club is really going to be about the coaching that you and I deliver to people to help them kind of know what to do and how to do it and how to stay true to yourself, how to stick to it once you get it started. But also it's going to be about finding other people in the community who you really meld right. with, a new social group. It's going to be about delivering the training and the information that you need to succeed as well. So it's just something to keep an eye out for.
Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I think we're going to help a lot of people build a foundation for a successful lifestyle.
Right. And as we say, you know, you build a fit body by building a fun life. And a lot of that comes, you know, comes to the community that you develop as well. And, you know, with our first launch, our first community, we have people who are in that community who are still active and still connecting with people that they met just through this community. People, some of these people are across the world.
Right, across the world. I thought you were going to say the United States, and I was going to say the world. But it's amazing how much energy you can get from a community support group like that.
Right, and we're building this community and this kind of complete training program specifically for people who have difficulty with losing weight and gaining it back, losing weight and gaining it back. That type of pick it up, put it down type yeah. mindset. And we're developing this training program and community to focus almost exclusively on the follow through, on the staying true to your word, to yourself, to sticking to your program, to building the lifestyle that fits your culture and your chemistry.
Right. And we're going to be there to support them the whole way through.
Right.
I love it. I'm excited. All that right. kind of stuff makes my fingertips flutter.
You and me both.
I'm seriously doing jazz hands over here.
So this is the next one. Are you ready for it? This was an interesting one to me as well. And they say, tweet your progress. Now, that's not exactly groundbreaking, but let me read the little blurb that they had in here. Use Twitter to make quick comments on your program in real time. University of Southern California researchers assigned one group of adults to listen to two nutrition and fitness podcasts each. I hope it was Cut the Fat podcast.
I hope so too.
And another group to listen to podcasts in addition to reporting workouts and connecting with one study participant on Twitter. Every 10 tweets in the second group corresponded to a 0.5% greater weight loss. Isn't that interesting? So every 10 tweets that somebody did to just report what's going on, you know, what they've been doing, what kind of workouts, not necessarily how much weight they're losing,
right.
but the kinds of things that they're doing in their life to build health.
That's awesome. What a great idea. Sharing your progress with others definitely gives you a level of accountability, but it also gives you that bit of pride that you can share amongst the community that other people will appreciate.
Right. And I know, you know, in the community that you and I have been kind of working on, one of the things that we want to do are some of these like weight loss challenges, right? And I wanted to discuss with you, maybe, you know, just I haven't mentioned it to you, but I think one thing that I've really been thinking about is this idea of doing a, not necessarily a weight loss challenge, but a fit life challenge. Like, like the person who takes part in the most cool activities and, you know, physical activities, mm-hmm. right? You know, the things that keep us physically active, but also are fun, you know, like goes out. If you go out to take a salsa class, you would get points towards that. If you go rock climbing, you know, if you take like a self-defense class, you know, things like that.
Or a bike ride,
you know,
or something.
Or a bike ride, or you go swing on a swing set or whatever, you know, it would ultimately give you points towards the achievement. The person with the most points wins. It's not about the weight, it's about the lifestyle, right?
Right. You know, in one of my past weight loss challenges, I played around with assign a weekly physical challenge. And one week I did exactly that. I said, pick an outdoor activity. We're in the middle of the summer. Let's pick something outdoorsy. And everybody would post up what they had decided to do for the day. One person was, I jump roped around the park. The other person was, I played soccer with my kids in the park. And the other person was, well, you know, I have a 2-year-old, so there really wasn't a whole lot I could do. So I jogged with the jog stroller, you know, so it was really neat having people share all of the things they can do. And I got to tell you, including myself, I really have a difficult time thinking outside the box sometimes, even though I'm a personal trainer, when it comes to exercise for myself. So just having people share those and suggest those really opened up, you know, a lot of different ideas for everyone.
Right. Very cool. Very cool. And I'm so excited about this because, you know, like I say, you know, as we're talking and discussing social, the impact of our social culture and circle on our health and fitness, we can't lose sight of the fact that one of the reasons that, you know, that we are social creatures is because it just makes life so much more enjoyable when that social group supports you. Now, you know, when we're talking about family, sometimes it feels like they are not supporting us. And, you know, this is oftentimes even more so the case with husbands and wives.
Right. I was going to say spouse.
Spouses, yeah. Right. Because there are a couple of potential things that happen. First and foremost, and I'll give you the remedy to this, the remedy to the whole spouse sabotage thing.
Okay, tell me, share.
Okay, but before I tell you the remedy, let me tell you what generally happens in the psychology of things. So when we're with somebody and surrounded by people on a regular basis for extended periods of time, people, we all learn, and we all do this, we all learn how to push each other's buttons, how to manipulate each other. And sure. You know, you may disagree with that, but I'm telling you, it's a fact, is that even when we're not trying to be manipulative, we oftentimes are manipulating the other person through the things that we do.
Sure.
The problem is when one person changes and the other one remains the same, the systems that we have in place to manipulate the other person stop working as the other person changes. And that scares the hell out of people. And it scares the heck out of the other person, whether it be your spouse or a loved one of some sort. And so they may sabotage you intentionally. Sometimes that does happen. You know, we oftentimes think, well, it's just because, well, they don't want me to get thin and then go out and find somebody else. And that may be part of the issue as well. Mm-hmm. But it's oftentimes the opposite. It's oftentimes the fact that it's just the normal systems that we have in place stop working, the ways that we control the other people in our life. And we all do it. That is just a fact.
Interesting. And, you know, I find that when one of the spouses really gets on board with a program and finds something that they connect to, that the other person has a little bit of envy. You know, it's right. Almost so the whole self-sabotage thing comes in, or not self-sabotage, the partner sabotage comes in because they want to be a part of it. But it's kind of one of those things that's hard to ask. And that second partner might not get the same thing from that particular group or community or support as the first person who found it, you know, so there right. might even be a little competition in there.
Sure. And you got to realize that people are oftentimes in different states of change. So there is a natural progression that happens. You know, first somebody has to realize they have an issue, they have a problem. And oftentimes, you know, we may see it in them, but they may not see it in them. You know, that yes. story that I haven't told in a long time, but when I was, you know, that young kid that was chubby with the big nugget head and big Pepsi bottle glasses, and you know, that day that I went into that Christmas party and you know, was being chased around the house by the woman of my dreams because I had her shoe, and she said, "You're fat, give me back my shoe." I really honestly didn't realize that I was overweight until that moment. And only then, after the realization, could I do anything about it. And the same thing holds true with a lot of us in our health. Sometimes we have to wait until we have a heart attack. I see this a lot in my mm-hmm. practice here at the Expert Nutrition Center. When people come in, they say, "Man, I thought I was healthy, and then I found myself in the emergency room having a heart attack." You know, the truth is, some people just don't realize they have a problem. Once they realize they have a problem, they're not necessarily ready for change yet. Sometimes there's not enough pressure, and not enough pressure has built up. This is that person who says, "Yeah, I'm overweight, but you know what? I look pretty good, and
I feel okay."
And I feel okay.
So what I'm doing, I think, for me is working right now.
Right.
And right, they don't see an urgency for change. Yeah. And you know, what I've found is a lot of people see a picture of themselves And that's the wake up call. And it tends to be a little more for females with the whole photograph thing. But yeah, I completely agree with you that the sense of urgency is different for everyone.
I disagree. I think guys have the same issue. I think I know guys that look in a picture and are like, whoa, man, where'd that second chin come from?
Yeah.
And it's true. That's a wake up call. And you know what? That's okay. Being overweight is not a crime. And unfortunately, in our society, it sometimes feels like a crime. Mm-hmm. It's okay if your motivation is to look better. I oftentimes tell my patients that I want them to develop a little bit of vanity. And I want them to, because that is a good, solid motivator. I mean, you know a lot of fitness pros. You know a lot of people that are bodybuilders and fitness models. And they can oftentimes be very, very vain. And the more vain they are, the more fit they appear. And and the more solid their diet and exercise regimens have a tendency to be, because it can be a good motivator.
Right. And that's it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because then people look at you and say, wow, you look great. And then you just continue to get the motivation when you start looking better. So totally develop a little bit of vanity. Have some pride in the way you look and feel.
Yes. Yes. Let's go on to the – I think this is the last one in the mix. Okay. I said seven. Wasn't that seven? Oh, no. I missed one. Okay. So here was the other one. Post your favorite photos. So this was also an interesting one. Not groundbreaking advice, I admit, in the world of Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest, not groundbreaking advice. But what was interesting was a Cornell University study that supported this. It said a study found that simply spending time exploring or editing your Facebook profile can boost self-esteem, likely because it enables you to put your best self forward.
Okay.
And so when you're looking at Facebook and if you look across your friends, I always say nobody's as happy, rich, or successful as they claim to be. And that is especially true on Facebook. But that appears to be a good thing as it pertains to self-esteem, because you can use that narrowed nature to kind of go through, look at, your pictures and everything, because you get to choose what you put up there. You can get just the right angle on your pictures so that, you feel confident. And going through that apparently seems to increase your self-esteem, at least according to Cornell University.
Okay, cool. I mean, I see how that can work.
Okay. And then the final one is write about your ups and downs. Prone to emotional eating? Blog about it. Recording your weight loss journey can help you identify triggers that make you binge, helping you differentiate between emotional and physical hunger. Keep it private or publish it publicly to inspire others also struggling with emotional eating. Once you determine what your triggers are, write about how you'll fix the problem. That is the key point. Never leave it at the problem. Always end with the solution.
Right. And this is something that we focus on in the Cut the Fat Coaching Club.
Right. In fact, we have built a blog system in there so that you can keep your journal along the way. And we can see it, right, Blythe? So that
we can hold people accountable.
That's right. When somebody comes to us and says, I don't know, it's been 3 weeks and I haven't lost anything. We can say, all right, well, let's go into your journals. Let's take a look at what you've been writing here. Well, let's take a look at what your number one habit is, and are you sticking to it? Let's look at your food journal here. And it'll help us to help the people in the club. But it doesn't have to be through that. It can be just your own blog. Set one up online, and blog about your progress. Blog about the cool things you're doing, your challenges. It's okay to blog about the things that are difficult. Just make sure you end that post with a solution to that difficulty.
That's awesome. And it's always fun to go back and review, even if it's just a week or a month, you go back and read your old blog posts and you're like, geez, I've really come a long way. So that's another tool to measure your progress.
Right.
Blogs are great.
And then the final one is use apps to log your meals. I know you're huge on this. And it calibrates your brain to the meaning of the food that you're eating, right?
Like when you think I feel like there's a big learning curve that happens when people start logging their food. The level of awareness that they gain when they are making a choice of what to eat and they learn how it makes their body feel. I feel that's just a huge learning curve when it comes to logging. And I know it's tedious. It's especially tedious for like the first week. But if you continue on and maybe not logging every day, maybe logging, you know, just weekdays or something like that, can certainly help build your level of knowledge about the foods that you're choosing to eat.
And it doesn't have to be in detail. You don't have to count every calorie even.
Right.
You know, although there's a spectrum of benefit. Like the more time you spend in it, likely the more benefit you will get. But, you know, even just writing down what you ate just really quickly, just to keep tabs on it. Or there's been research that suggests that even just snapping a picture of the food that you're eating is more effective than even tabulating the calories and the carbs and the fat within the meal.
And because, you know what else? It helps you remember some of your favorite things that you ate.
Right. And that's another thing I like to do is if I find something that's healthy and I enjoy eating, you know, we naturally think that we'll remember all the things, but I found that that's not in fact the case. You know, one of the things, there's a principle I call the law of convenience, and that is convenient, when all other things being equal, convenience will dictate what you do.
Sure. So, we always get in a pinch. Life gets in the way. Yes, absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
So those are all the seven of this article in Reader's Digest. Let me just see if I can. It's seven things you do on social media that help you lose weight. And the author is Kelsey Kloss. I thought it was a pretty well-written article. Real easy to kind of follow. And good work, Kelsey.
Thanks for the article. I'm looking forward to really getting people moving forward with this coaching club. You know, over the last 4 years, I guess, I've been doing these weight loss challenges. And over 8 weeks' time, I have people lose between 6% and 8% of their total body weight. And it's not all about body weight, but it's what they learn along the way during that 8 week time. And the average percentage of body weight that people lost is between 6% and 8%. And I think people just knowing that they can do that, knowing that that's something that they have control over and they've been empowered to do that, they can take that with them and add it to their journey. You know, so they've got this little building block, I guess, that they can rely on. I've got people who have done my challenges in the past over and over and over. You know, they just continue on because they love the level of accountability, or maybe it's the incentive, you know, the gifts that they get or the prizes or whatever. But I, you know, it's just something that people can relate to. And I really am excited about you and I being able to help people through the journey.
Yeah. And you know, we've polled people in reference to, you know, the kinds of things that they would love to see in a community like this. And, you know, a good 60% of the people really like the idea of these types of weight loss challenges or lifestyle challenges.
Right.
Others do not. And that's cool. You don't have to take part in that. That's one component of or one tool of accountability that we'll have built into this community. So, you know, I know it's kind of sounding like a sales pitch right now, but it really is just something that you and I are passionate about. And
oh, I'm just excited. No sales pitch. I'm just really excited.
Yeah. So social, anything else you want to add to the whole discussion on social?
I think that some of the points I want to touch on that I think socially can be beneficial to somebody who's trying to cut fat. Economical reasons. You know, if you go and hire a one-on-one person versus joining a community, it's probably more economical to join a group. Usually they're free online, or, you know, you can find maybe a weight loss group at work or something that you can join. And, you know, it's a $20 pot. You know, you throw your 20 bucks in, and at the end of the challenge, whoever the biggest loser is, you know, I think we've all seen those around. But groups and communities that get together to do these kind of things and build a social connection definitely have that benefit. The social support, not just going out there and doing it by yourself, having an incentive, like I said, prizes and gifts, the accountability, a feeling of or a sense of belonging to a group. So knowing that you're not going at this alone, guidance by, you know, people like you or myself or whoever is leading the group, and small group attention, you know, people posting up questions and asking about something. I always tell them, never be afraid to post up a question, because if you're wondering, so is somebody else. And not everybody is comfortable asking questions. So I encourage people, just like, you know, I can relate with the whole blog post topic that we just went over. You know, people posting things is really a motivator for other people. So if you're somebody like me that thrives off of motivating other people and having them come back to you and say, oh my gosh, you have no idea how much this means to me. Not that I need the pat on the back, but I love knowing that I was helping somebody else, right, whether I meant to or not, you know, that it just feels so good.
And that's one thing that we are also building into our community is the ability to ask questions through our private forum, and you and I will be in there every day answering questions that people come or helping people with challenges that come up during the course of the day and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, very important to be able to get those questions answered, because one of the big roadblocks for people is not knowing what to do. And our hope is to really, you know, take care of that aspect of it, make sure that they know that you know exactly what you need to do next and at this stage in your journey. What else you got?
We can knock down people's roadblocks.
Right.
Those are the points that I wanted to get at. You know, social, I'm a huge one for community weight loss and sharing your journey with other people. I do understand that not everybody is comfortable sharing, and that's okay. But I think the more momentum you gain, the closer you get to being able to share your story.
I agree. All right. Good stuff. I hope people got some value out of this as far as, you know, cutting the fat out of the social community. There was one thing that I forgot to discuss, and that was what to do. You know, the remedy for social sabotage.
You left me hanging.
This isn't groundbreaking stuff, but you need to hear it. And that is, you need to take 100% responsibility for your own actions. I know that sounds so simple, but it is so rare to see. When we take 100% responsibility for our own actions, we completely remove the power that everybody in our life has over us. And I think that's such a huge factor when we're dealing with lifestyle and weight, because people will pressure you to come out and drink alcohol or to eat, you know, that, you know, eat a half a cake at the office birthday party or, you know, or whatever. And you have to be able to say, you cannot ever say that person made me eat that food.
Right. You know? You're responsible for your
choices. The husband is the biggest problem for a lot of women out there. Because I hear it all the time. Well, my husband brings home donuts or my husband brings home fried chicken. You know, and you cannot use them as an excuse to eat those foods.
Right.
You have to take 100% responsibility. It is the only cure for that type of circumstance.
You know what? And something that I can recommend to people out there, if you do have a husband who brings home things like that, maybe talk to each other. And, you know, it might be an uncomfortable subject, but hey, can you put those in a box in the closet and keep that stuff out of sight? You know, we've had this conversation before, out of sight, out of mind type thing. I mean, you might... I've told the story in the past about the cake that I threw in the trash and then I went and dug it back out because I told myself I couldn't have the cake. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Way back when. And I was like, you know, it happens to everybody, but you do have to take the accountability. And if you can at least help deter yourself a little bit, or maybe he can help deter you a little bit, taking steps in the right direction that's eventually going to get you there.
Right.
So taking that little bit of responsibility.
And believe it or not, you know, we talked about, you know, the way that people try to control us, but oftentimes your spouse is really just trying to show you love in the way that they know how. And, you know, especially when they see that you're uncomfortable or you're unhappy, one of the fastest paths to make somebody happy is to shovel some cookies down their throat.
Right.
And, you know, it's true that is the fastest way to make yourself feel better. And that's the fastest way often to make a loved one feel better as well. When a kid falls and scrapes their knee, their parent, you know, picks them up and says, here, have a cookie. It'll make you feel better. And, you know, I even as a parent, I find myself wanting to offer my children something sweet when they're crying or when they injure themselves as a way to make them feel better. I have to resist that. And it's a natural for us to want to make our loved ones feel good. And food is oftentimes the fastest path to that. And that is in fact by the way, a way to control the circumstances, and it is the mechanism. And oftentimes, for a lot of you, it may be the only way that your spouse knows how to make you feel better. Think
True.
About that.
Yes.
Think about that, because if it is the only way, they have nothing to fall back on. So you may have to tell them, hey, look, you know, look, hon, I know that you know I love fried chicken and you want to bring me to make me happy. But, you know, the truth is it just makes things more difficult. So now, you know, instead of that, do this. Instead of that, bring me this, you know, so that it helps the people in your life make your life healthier or easier to make your life healthier.
It's a great suggestion. Cool. I love that. Yes. Awesome.
All right, good. Well, I think we're done for the day. Oh, if you want more information about us or the Cut the Fat Coaching Club, you better get on the list, because we're only going to let a certain number of people on. We're not sure how many yet, but we want to make sure that we can take care of the people that we let in. So we'll likely do this where we'll open it up and we'll close it down, just to make sure that we can provide the type of service that we want to provide to the people involved. So go to Cut the Fat Podcast. You'll be able to find cutthefatpodcast.com. You'll be able to find details there.
Awesome. I'm excited.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you next time here on Cut the Fat Podcast.